Tom Kissingberry here. Nah, I'm just kidding. We don't have Tom Kissingberry money. It's just me, Peter Howard, and Jake Anderson meeting at the Dynasty Crossroads once a week for 30 minutes to talk about one player at a time. We look at the film with Jake, we talk about the analytics with me, and we try to come to a consensus. We do have a pretty cool theme song, though.
Peter crunches numbers, and Jake just grinds that tape. Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church, but I'ma keep tapping return. I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict, Russ and Brian are the names. Trade Addicts Pod, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I'm Kane Fussell, and I have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Session 88 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts. You will notice the strange voice that was not Brian. Okay, sorry. The different voice that was not Brian Harr's, not that Kane has a strange voice. This is off to a terrible start, but we're just going to keep going because I don't want to edit. Brian has taken a week or two off, actually 2 weeks. I knew the answer to that, so I don't know why I made it seem like it was a question. But to cover this first week, we have the... I was trying to come up with a name with Kane, a rhyme with Kane, and I couldn't think of anything. That's how bad I am right now. So, Kane... why don't you tell all the fine people out there who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, so my name's Kane Fussell. I just do a lot of Devi stuff on Twitter. Our first pod actually just released today, and that's the Devi Marketplace. You can find that on Twitter at Devi Marketplace. It's just a really fun pod that my friend Caleb and I have put together where we're just talking about trade values. When it comes to Devi players and kind of where that slots in with some NFL guys. So whether you're rebuilding or just trying to get some extra value from Devi players, it just gives you an idea about what to do with some of those players. So you're not as confused when you're kind of making those Devi trades. So we're going to be here for that. It'll be complete with buys and sells, just like our first podcast. And we'll be doing that every week. So you can learn a little bit more about the Devi players that will either be in this upcoming draft, if you're not a Devi player and just in the Dynasty community, or if you're a Devi player and you want to know some of these deep dives, we have that too. So we have it all covered and we're really excited about it. So check it out. It's on everywhere where you can get a podcast, and that is the Devi Marketplace.
All right. Why don't you drop your Twitter handle, your co-host Twitter handle, and the show's Twitter handle?
Yeah, so the show's Twitter handle is at Devi Marketplace, and my Twitter handle is at Devi _Kane, and my co-host is at PearsonFF. Follow all three of us, and we'll just be doing a lot of cool things. Hopefully you like it.
Hopefully cool things.
Yeah.
Kane is a new member of the FF Mercs, which I have been a member of for a while, yet never remember to actually pimp on this show. So while we're talking about it, we're at the start of the non-point scoring season, because by the time this comes out, the game that we are in the middle of right now that Kane can't keep his eyes off of because he's a Vikings fan, that'll be done, and the fantasy football season will be officially over. So if you want to know what to do for next year, evaluate your roster, some trade ideas, any of that fun stuff that comes with the non-point scoring season, hit up ffmercs.com at ffmercs on Twitter. Sign up for a consultation. Oh, I think, what is it? Trade Addicts 10 is a promo code for 10% off your first consultation. That might not be real, but DM me if it is not, and I will find out what my actual code is, because there is one. Just don't remember.
Or you can always use the code Devi.
I should have made mine easier like you did, man. All right, yeah. Forget what I said. Just go use Devi. Let Kane get the credit. He deserves it because he clearly knows what he's doing and I do not.
Only because I just had to talk about it last night. Only reason why I remember.
I got nothing. You still win. So as I was just saying, fantasy football season is officially over. Kane let me know before we start recording that he made one championship and lost decisively.
Oh, yeah, I absolutely got crushed. Like, it's not like it's close. It's 144 to 69.
Nice. I mean, not so nice, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, I got absolutely crushed. Most of those points are from Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I made it to three championship games, and I made it to the finals in one of the Fantasy Cares Eliminators. I walked away with one championship and that Fantasy Cares Eliminators championship, which doesn't really matter because I'm donating the money back anyway, but I get to brag that I beat people that I don't remember anymore.
Noise.
Was that mean? I don't think that. Sorry. That was
kind of mean.
I'm a big deal. It's fine.
Darn right.
Okay, but this leads me to one question that I'm always curious on people's opinions. Sorry to bring it up again, but you just got destroyed in the finals.
Yeah.
Would you prefer to get destroyed or to lose by like 1 point?
So either way, it doesn't really make a difference to me because I am a Vikings fan. So I'm used to just having like the ultimate failure. So like as soon as we get to the championship, then losing. And I don't know if that hurts worse than just like never making it. But either way, losing sucks.
Further. So it's like, not how do you want to lose? You're already expecting that you lose. So would you rather even get the hope of making it to the finals?
Yeah, like it's. I think the way that you can evaluate a fantasy season is just if you can get to the playoffs or not. Shit happens after that. There's no way that you can, you know, expect to win in every finals you're in because there's a little bit of luck and a little bit of chance in this fun game that we play. So I'm not always expecting to win. I usually go in expecting to lose. And if I manage to win, that's pretty good.
Yeah, see, I'm the kind of person, I don't like having hope. Either I come out of the gates and I'm just destroying from the beginning, or I come out of the gates and, well, my opponent comes out of the gates and I stay back for 5 minutes. Like, I want to crush or be crushed. I don't want it to be close because I guess I can't really handle the anxiety of that. Like, I just want it to be over. Like, I did not watch a lot of football the past 2 weeks just because I couldn't really do it to myself.
It didn't really help when after just the Saturday games, he was up 13.7 to what? Like 9 points. And he had Breshad Perriman and I had DeAndre Hopkins and James White. So just after the Saturday games, I'm like, ah, this is cool.
Yeah.
All right, you just win. I'll take second and we'll just call it good.
That's cool. You should have reached out like, hey, you want to split the pot?
I reached out and I was like, I think you got me. And he goes, no, it's still pretty close.
No one
and
will then, admit the victory because they don't want to jinx themselves.
And then very quickly on Sunday, Lamar Jackson threw two touchdowns to Mark Andrews and he has the stack. And I was like, oh, I think you got me. And he goes, no, there's still a lot of time left. And I was like, dude, I have one player. You're up by 70. I think you've beat me. Like, just accept that you've won.
There's still a half of football. Devontae Adams might score 70-something points right now.
Let's just check the totals. So it's 144 to 69 right now. So we need, what, 75 points?
It's not over. There's still minutes on the clock.
We got this.
One time, man. That's all it takes. They could beat you 99 out of 100. All it takes. One time.
Darn right.
I don't even remember why we started this. I just got into a lot of... That was fun. Okay. How long have you been playing fantasy football?
Over half of my life. So
yeah, but you're like 16, so that doesn't really...
I'm 26. So I started when I was in seventh grade. I think my friends and I got our first league together. So how many years is that? I was like 13.
Yeah,
so about half my life I've been playing fantasy football.
Cool. Did you get into... Well, I guess you had to get into Dynasty first before you got into Devi, right? How long have you been playing the two?
So I took kind of an odd path. So I've always... my brother and I, our favorite thing about football just in general is the NFL draft. And that whole draft process has been something that we've been enamored with forever. So we got bored one day and just made like a little... NFL draft site where we just made mock drafts, let people read our stuff, and I eventually got picked up to a fantasy football site. But I didn't really get into dynasty football before I got into the NFL draft, which is kind of a different way of thinking about it. But so I've only been playing dynasty for about, this is my third year. But since I had all the NFL draft knowledge, and obviously I love watching college football, that has kind of taken over, Devi has kind of taken over my love of fantasy football. Yes, Whitney, you can make noise. It's okay. You can open the fridge.
Everybody, say hi to Whitney, Kane's wife. Hi, Whitney.
And Whitney,
yes, you're allowed to
away.
Eat. And
she took a bottle of water, and then now she's running away.
She doesn't have to run. It's dangerous to run.
That's very true. Walking never killed nobody.
Okay, so words. What are some of your best or worst trades you've made over your 3 years of playing Dynasty?
So I've made some pretty bad ones. One, I was looking back at a league, and I was in a total rebuild. I took over a team that was just awful, but it had two or three, I think it had two 2019 picks and two or three 2020 picks. So I was like, all right, I'll just stock up on this bad boy. Let's just trade off everyone. And one of those players I traded off was Cortland Sutton. And so I ended up trading Cortland Sutton and early second round pick in 2019 for a 2020 first round pick. So I obviously mean, that's to be determined. But
if it turns into like the 101, that's not bad.
It's not. This guy's actually like good. So it ended up being the 109. So not awful, but definitely not the return I could have gotten. If we're talking about some of the better trades, which are a little more exciting to talk about, one trade I randomly got offered this when Daniel Jones was hurt, and it was straight up Daniel Jones for Kyle Allen. And I received Daniel Jones, and I was like, oh, sweet.
Yes. Like, yes. Thank you.
It's a one quarterback league, so obviously there's not as much value in quarterbacks. Still. But either way, I was like, that's a good one. But I think the best trade I've made, at least this year, is I traded away David Montgomery right after the rookie draft, D.D. Westbrook, and a 2020 second for Devontae Adams and Kiki Kuti.
And, wow, I mean, Kiki Kuti didn't really turn into much, but the fact that he got plus, I mean, right. Take it.
I just kind of tried to get him as a throw-in, and he goes, yeah, I'll still do the deal. Really high. He was really high on David Montgomery, and those guys are still out there. That's kind of the word to the wise. If you can always find the person in your league that loves a certain player, you're obviously going to get more value from them than anyone else. So like I always do, I either try to get in a little piece or see if I can get a late draft pick. And a lot of people will just say yes because they don't care about the third or fourth or fifth round pick. But after a while, those start to add up and they can make a difference in some of your trades. So you might as well just try for it.
Damn straight. And while you're dropping that knowledge, why don't you slide into a guiding principle you take with you, whether you are offering or evaluating trades?
Ooh, that's a good question. I really try to just look at a 3 year window when I'm just looking at dynasty players and just try to evaluate them in that 3 year window or in the contract that they're in. Especially with running backs, you never know if they're going to get a second contract. And if you do, you never know if they're going to be with the same team. So I really try to just look at it in that window. And, you know, if a trade ends up working out for me down the road 3 or 4 years later, okay. But if it doesn't, I'm all right because I only looked at it in that short window. And if it benefited me for 2 years, that's a pretty good trade.
Now, we're going to get into a lot of Devi questions a little later, but does it being a Devi league change any of what you just said? Is the way you trade in a Devi league different from the way you trade in a normal dynasty league?
Yeah, I think it does a little. because this is when you're getting to the part where picks just don't matter as much. I'm not saying that they don't matter, but they just don't have the same value that you would normally get from them. So, you know, a first in a Devy depleted draft isn't as exciting. You might be lucky enough to have that first this year, the 101, and you might, Joe Burrow might still be out there.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be the one time that you're like getting a crazy.
There seems to be someone every year. Last year, Kyler, I mean.
Yeah, but I think the issue is that there's only one or two of those guys. And so if you're not getting that 101 or that 102, the value goes down extremely quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you really have to evaluate, are you building a juggernaut team for now and for the next year or two? Well, then maybe you want to trade off some of those Devy assets and really just, you know, focus on these next couple years. If not, maybe you're going to want to build some of that younger talent now and then have, you know, some Devy players that will be in the draft this year and next year and the year after. So you're really going to have a large talent pool to really help you. And that's going to help every year rather than really just stockpiling on guys in 1 year versus versus kind of spreading them out. So that's another thing to keep in mind, just the draft eligible years of Devy players. Yeah, it's great to get all of them, you know, to the NFL. It's anytime you have a Devy player that makes it to an NFL roster, that's a huge win. But something you also have to keep in mind is then if you're in deeper leagues and all of your guys just came into the NFL, well, then you're drafting sophomores and freshmen that are now going to take another couple years. So you're going to have that couple year gap that either you're going to have to be trading some of those guys and trading your picks and trading some talent that are on NFL rosters, or you could just span it over several years and just kind of make it a little easier on yourself if you're not as keen on trading as some other people are.
Well, if you're listening to this show, they must be keen on trading. But
right. But, you know, some people aren't really sure on some values and they get really confused, especially on Devy values. That's one whole different thing that a lot of people don't talk about when it comes to trades. Because it's a lot harder to evaluate, because not only do they need to produce in college and usually have, you know, good scouting out of high school, they have to be good in high school, they have to be good in college, and then they have to do well at the combine, and then they have to do well and get drafted at a good spot in the NFL draft, and then perform at the NFL. So it's a series of hoops that they have to jump through, and it's much easier, obviously, to just take the guy that's in the NFL, and if he produces, he produces, because he doesn't have to jump through those additional hoops. But I think that's where a lot of the fun comes with Devy players, and there's just a fumble and Green Bay got it back. So I'm not happy, but
I'm sorry. All right. Okay. So as usual, I'm horribly disorganized and we jumped like into the middle of our conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's actually explain from the beginning what Devy is, just in case there's people out there that aren't complete degenerates like we are. First of all, Devy is short for developmental. Mm-hmm. It really pretty much means depends on your level of crazy, how far back you're allowed to draft people. Most Devy leagues, you can, as if they're in college, they're free to draft. Mm-hmm. I have heard of leagues that let you draft high school kids. If I was in a Devy league right now with unlimited Devy, whatever, I would be drafting Frank Gore III just to get in on him before he's cool.
Smart.
Because his son just, Frank Gore Jr., just declared for signed with I completely forgot already, but he just signed with a college, so he's getting there, which means he's not that far off from, you know, having a kid. He's within the next few years probably, which means 18 years from them, bam, I got me the 101 running back, Frank Gordon.
He's going to Southern Miss.
Yeah, there was no way I was going to remember that one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the point of Devy. Now, since I have never actually been in a startup Devy, I joined two orphans in leagues that involve it. Can you tell us how to start from the startup in a Devy league?
Yeah, so it's going to be one of two ways. So first, it's going to be you're going to have your normal first draft, which is your normal draft with all your rookies, everything like that. And then there's a second draft, and it's going to be in reverse order of the dynasty draft. You can do it that way. So then when you have your Devy draft, that's when you're drafting the kids that are in college. And then it'll snake through that. Or one of the really fun ways that I enjoy doing it is kind of doing it derby style. So that means you can choose, everyone gets picked out of a hat, and the first person can either choose where they're getting placed in the Dynasty League draft or in the Devy draft. So they get to pick one of those two options, and it just gives a little more flexibility. So as soon as obviously one, the first six picks get taken in the Dynasty League, they have the option to maybe, you know, start going after the top Devy player, which in that draft ended up being Trevor Lawrence, which makes sense in a super flex league. So then they were already set at that quarterback position. And that Trevor Lawrence and some Devy picks ended up getting traded for Saquon Barkley. So, you know, it just adds some more value, and it's a little more fun to trade with, especially with people that really enjoy watching college football.
Okay, cool. So now I know the answer to this question is going to be a very big depends on the person. But from what you've noticed in these leagues, is it in a normal, okay, let me word it this way. In a normal league, you have people that like to go like productive struggle, where they'll go very heavy on wide receiver, you know, crazy young, get punt for the first year, get their early picks. Do you see that happening in Devy leagues where people go, they'll draft, you know, maybe first, second year wide receivers, a bunch of Devy players, and then, you know, struggle for the year or two? Or does it not work that well? Because you can't really depend on good draft picks. It's having to nail the specific Devy players.
So I love how you said depends, because, you know, that's part of the answer. And I think it depends on how well you think that you evaluate college football talent. So if we're looking in leagues where everything's thrown together, you know, both the dynasty guys, the rookies, and Devy players, and we throw them all in one big pool, especially in the super flex league, is you're gonna see usually the top Devy players. I think they were coming off the board fourth round. And that's when we're thinking about like top end quarterbacks in the super flex league. So you had guys like Tua and Trevor Lawrence go. They were the top two Devy guys taken. And then you had a couple running backs sprinkled in. But I think in those drafts, that's when you really have to decide, if you're good at evaluating college talent and you think you know what's going on, well, then maybe you want to draft those guys possibly a little earlier. Or if you are really confident in your abilities and you want to wait till the end and really pick up all that NFL talent, win now. But then you run into that issue again, where if it's in a deep Devy league, there's no one for you to draft that's going to come into the league this next year. So I commission one league, and you have 8 spots of Devy players.
So when, what, 12 teams, 8 spots per team.
How many is that? 96? So you have 96 guys already off the board. So it becomes a lot more difficult, especially when the people that they're passing on are the Devy guys they're not drafting are guys that are sophomores and freshmen this past year. So that's kind of when it gets a little more complicated. I know that's a very odd answer, but.
Well, no, because there's never an easy answer to that, because it's not like everybody drafts the same way anyway. It's not like everybody values anything the same way. But what I'm picking up is pretty much for you to pretty much stake your claim in a Devy league, you sort of just need to know what you're talking about. You need to at least be able to understand the value of specific players, as opposed to, hey, I have an early 2021st. And that's like probably what seems to be the biggest difference, at least when it comes to value in a regular dynasty and a Devy league.
Right. 100%. Because there's just less options for you when you're when you have that top pick.
Now, were you a big college football fan?
Yes.
Were you before all this? Because I know you said you love the drafts, so I guess that would go hand in hand.
Yeah, so college football, I think it's gotten a little more intense the past couple of years, being in Devy Leagues, but that love was always there of college football. And I think that's what makes Devy a little more exciting, is because you get to find those gems before anyone else, before all these people come out and are saying, you know, during the NFL draft process, they're like, oh, this is going to be a guy that can rise up boards. Mm-hmm. We've been seeing this guy make plays for 2 years. So we already know 100% of his talent. It's a lot clearer to us what his abilities are and the issues that he needs to work on and how that will fit in a stereotypical fantasy football player.
Okay, so now I get the point of Devy. The point of Devy is, if you're the kind of guy who likes to take victory laps on Twitter, you join a Devy league, you draft all of your guys, and then you get to run around in circles saying, I told you so. That's the point of Devy.
Yeah, that's pretty close. Yeah.
Nice.
It helps when you're better at it than others, because then you get to take just a few more victory laps.
Oh, see, right now, if I were to do well in this Devy league, it would all be Dwight Peebles and Andrew Harbaugh so far, because I've gone to them too whenever anybody has been offering me a trade or anything that has to do with a Devy player. Andrew, what should I do?
I think you talked to me not too long ago. Didn't you trade away Big Ben and get some really solid college players? And you messaged me and you're like, do I take this? And I was like, 100%. Like, take that every time.
Oh, did I? Okay, awesome. I wasn't sure if we were talking then already. Yeah, I got players I had no idea who they were, like Spencer Rattler.
Oh, yeah. So he just redshirted at quarterback, University of Oklahoma.
Woot, woot. I don't know what that means. Yeah, okay, so he took a year off pretty much.
Yeah, because, you know, they had Jalen Hurts. So the new rule with college football, because college football wants to make it a little easier on players, is that if you play 4 games or less, you can still redshirt, which is really nice, especially when it comes to medical redshirts and things like that. So before, if a player played in 1 game, tore his ACL, he could apply for a medical redshirt, but there was no guarantee of him getting it. This way, there's a guarantee that he can take that year if he hadn't redshirted already.
And it just saves you a year of eligibility, right? That's
I just think that helps. You know, a lot of players that are still developing, because there's so many players that, you know, have only played a year or two of football before they go to the NFL, or excuse me, to college football. So that's where it really becomes difficult for them, because they obviously want to get to the NFL. That's the main goal with all these guys. But sometimes it takes a little longer for them to develop if they don't have, they might have the God-given talent, but they might not know how to use it. And I think that's when these redshirts really, really come in handy.
Okay. Do you think there's anything else basic-wise you need to go over before we start hitting up some questions?
I don't think so.
Cool. All right. So let's start. Where's our first question? At Scott. It's either Sidlow or Sidio. I can't read from this far away from my screen. So sorry, guy. A lot of hype for this class. Who's your favorite prospect to watch? All right, so 2020 technically isn't Devy anymore, from all I've been told, pretty much. Everyone's just done with 2020 and moving on because they're technically the incoming rookies. Is that how you look at it?
I think there's still games left to be played, so I'm still going to call them Devy players because it's the same players that we've been watching now for 3 years. So I think Devy incorporates anywhere until they start playing in the NFL, because it's people that know a lot more about the NFL draft process as well. So that's the way I look at it. And if you want me to name a 2020 guy that is my favorite prospect to watch, that's probably CeeDee Lamb, wide receiver, University of Oklahoma. I just think he's phenomenal. Every time you watch him, you definitely think that it can go you know, he could go from where you think he's going to lose 5 yards to scoring a 72-yard touchdown, which is exactly what happened, I think, against Texas. So, you know, it can happen with CeeDee Lamb, and that's what makes him really, really exciting. I really love seeing guys that aren't incredibly tall. So he's only about 6'1", but he has incredible body control. So when he's getting deep down the field, he's able to use that body and really make sure that he can, you know, position it to catch the ball and make sure that the defenders can't smack it away from him. And I think that's really, really important when you don't have the full body size frame, as Kirk Cousins gets sacked and a tear falls down my cheek. But that's probably the guy that I enjoy watching the most.
I don't watch college football, but I caught a couple of games with J.K. Dobbins involved, and I like watching that kid play football. I think that's going to be my most drafted player. That's actually, I don't even have any 101s, 102s, so I guess I don't really have to worry about that.
He'll still be there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, right now, in a super flex league, we're going to have hands are in the air. Yeah.
Stephon Diggs, baby.
Yeah. Oh,
Get up. You know, what did he hit? 25-yard post?
End zone?
That was a nice play. No.
Oh. Okay.
He's from the 15 to about the 40.
Oh, whatever.
Good play.
I like Stephon Diggs, so I'm happy about it. So we have Joe Burrow, Tua, assuming he's healthy by the time it happens. Swift, Jonathan Taylor.
Travis Etienne.
You have Etienne above Dobbins?
No, I don't. But I think that's going to be a common pick for him to possibly be above J.K. Dobbins, and that wouldn't surprise me.
Okay. And would you put Judy or Lamb in front of Dobbins?
I would put both of them in front of Dobbins.
All right, cool. So I'm just trying to get I'm learning right now. So I have to try and figure out where I can trade for. I'll try.
I know how many super flex leagues you're in. So there's always a chance that if Justin Herbert's drafted in the first round, he could be another guy that could be drafted before kind of these bottom of the tier one running backs or top of the tier two guys. Mm-hmm. So definitely look for that. I think there's going to be even some quarterbacks you can get in the second round that are going to be developmental guys that I think are worth the dart throw.
Is Jalen Hurts coming out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, yeah.
You said his name before, and
I don't know why he wouldn't.
I don't know. Because it was funny. J. Mike brought up on whatever the hell he was on a few weeks ago how he's not missing out on Josh Allen anymore, so he wants to grab that rookie QB in the second round that has the ability to run and throw. But so I feel
he also has to come out. Like,
is he a senior?
I don't know. That was his fourth year of eligibility. Oh, I just didn't know if they counted the one in 2018 or not, but they did. So yeah, that's the fourth year of his eligibility. He didn't redshirt. So
oh, okay. Well, there you go. See, I'm trying to learn here.
Yeah, so he's going to come out. I think you're also going to I think the next two guys would be right behind the Jalen Hurts type tier. In the same tier would be Jacob Eason, University of Washington. Really tall guy. He basically can make every throw on the field. Just sometimes what's between his ears isn't the quickest at processing a defense. And I think that comes with playing the game. And he was one of the many quarterbacks that went to Georgia, ended up transferring to Washington, sat behind Jake Browning, and then now he's finally starting, and you're just slowly seeing his processing get a little bit faster. And then the other guy, if I can remember his name, you can edit this out for me, which is the fun part.
I am not doing that, so you better find it quick.
Oh, God. My brain is like,
all right, we're moving on. You're taking too long.
That's fair. Sorry.
Okay, so
it's gonna pay Jordan Love. That's the name I wanted. Yeah, okay, he's another guy that isn't as quick at processing, and he hasn't played with top level talent either. So he's at Utah State, which obviously is not, you know, top tier players. So I think that's another guy to keep in mind if you're, you know, you're just trying to throw another dart at the wall when it comes to super flex quarterbacks.
Okay, so here's a question I was going to ask you anyway. Skip Newton at SNewton31. Do you value players who are eligible sooner higher than players who are at least a year or two out from the NFL draft?
I think that
the real question is, how much do you weigh sooner into the NFL?
Yeah, so that's what I call a tiebreaker. So if I'm looking at two guys and they're very, very similar to me, let's just come up with two names here. So if I'm looking at CeeDee Lamb, who I love, versus
Jamar Chase,
like,
Rondell Moore.
Yeah, versus like Rondell Moore. I love them both. And I think they're both going to be really, really special players. But I'm going to take CeeDee Lamb because he's 1 year closer. You never know what's going to happen in that last year. You never know if, you know, Jamar Chase or Rondell Moore are going to get injured. And who knows, they could have just a career-ending injury. Not that we're ever, like, looking out for that or really, you know, you don't expect that, obviously. But it's just something to keep in mind that a few more things could happen to that player versus CeeDee Lamb, who's going to be in the NFL draft. He's going to be drafted in the first round, and he's probably going to go to a team that's going to utilize him, right? Hopefully the Arizona Cardinals, because he'd be terrific in that offense, the same offense he's been playing in. And, you know, like, the quarterback used to be his quarterback. So, like, that, you know, everything would just work out together.
So his next part of the question is, how do you evaluate trade value with Devy picks and players? Now, clearly, there's a wide range of values between Devy picks, players and NFL players. But what you said before is, in a super flex league, people like Tua and Trevor Lawrence were going in like the fourth round of a startup. Mm-hmm. If you had Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields right now, who are probably Devy 101 around.
Yeah, the top two quarterbacks. They'll be going top five in the 2021 draft.
So what would you trade straight up those guys for? Like an NFL player right now? Like, are we talking like Carson Wentz level? Are we talking like Daniel Jones? Like, what are we talking about top tier Devy talent straight up for?
Yeah, so NFL I would. So if I was trading away Fields or Trevor Lawrence, I might want a little bit on top of Carson Wentz.
Okay. Carson
Wentz plus a wide receiver 3 or 4 that has high upside.
So you're slotting Fields and Lawrence into like top 10 quarterbacks is kind of what we're saying.
Yeah. Well, you have to, I think so that's when it comes to the really difficult part, right? Is trying to value where Devy players are going to go and where their ceiling is. So if I had Joe Burrow right now, I would rather have Carson Wentz than Joe Burrow. But if we're talking about Herbert or Fields, who I think has better talent than Carson Wentz does, which is usually the tiebreaker for me, then I'm going to want them over Carson Wentz, even though I know that I might not have as great of a shot of making the playoffs the next couple of years. But that's also when you have to make the decision of if you're a playoff contender or if you're not. And that's
Justin
when you
Herbert
need to start
has
to rebuild.
More talent than Carson Wentz.
I said the wrong name. No, I mean Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields have more talent than Carson Wentz.
I was about to say, I feel Shane pushing his way through this podcast wall and just like getting ready to scream.
I'll say it now. It wouldn't surprise me if Justin Herbert becomes a better NFL quarterback than Carson Wentz does. That would not surprise me in the least.
Wow. Wow. Okay. All right. Flag planted. I see that.
And he's my quarterback 3. Maybe I just hate Carson Wentz, but
yeah, maybe you just hate Carson Wentz. That's a very good point. All right. Let's see. What are we going? Well, since we're talking about trade values for individual players, I want to talk about this a little broader. Ryan Searfoss at Fantasy FB Connect. I'm not spelling out the letters because he doesn't use vowels. What are you looking for in a trade for Tua if you own him? He says it's single QB and he already has Mahomes or Darnold. And Darnold. Real quick, let's first just talk about Tua in general. What is the value of Tua in general right now? Because we don't really know anything. Because he technically hasn't declared yet, right?
Right. So I'm assuming that he's going to declare. So one big thing that I like to look at when college players, you know, haven't exactly decided, and that's who their school has recruited.
Good move. Okay.
So I think that's an important step. And I happen to know that Alabama has already recruited the number one quarterback. And his name is Bryce Young. He's 5'11". He's a dual threat guy. And I happen to know that they've already recruited him. And I happen to know that they also have another really, you know, a guy that I think he was a high 4-star or 5-star recruit already at that school that already sat out last year. And he probably will know the decision of if Tua is going to become pro before anyone else, because that's Tua's brother.
Oh, so well, there you go.
Tua's brother, Tualia Tagovailoa, was the red shirt this year. He sat out the year since his brother was starting. So with both those guys, I assume that Tua is going to enter the draft, and I assume that he's still going to be a top 7 pick.
Now, are you, even if he is not, do you think he's going to, since we're using the phrase redshirt, do you think he's going to redshirt his rookie year, or do you think he's going to come in healthy, ready to play?
He won't be able to play. He had a non-displaced dislocation and fracture in his hip.
Yeah, I know. I read so many different things, like, you know, Bo Jackson ending his career to, oh, that's only like a 6-week injury.
So the biggest difference between the Bo Jackson injury and
what Chris Carson just did,
and what, well, Chris Carson didn't dislocate his hip,
right?
So he had the exact same injury as Tua, but Tua added a hip dislocation. When Bo Jackson had that injury, he also had nerve damage tied into that injury, and so that's what was causing his leg to basically have no feeling. Gotcha. So I don't expect Tua to play at all this next year.
Okay.
And I think that's when he can go to a team that is fully rebuilding and might just re-sign, you know, an older quarterback that they already have on the roster this year and only sign to a 1-year deal. Like Ryan
Fitzpatrick. So you're saying, I was about to say, the Dolphins signing with Fitzpatrick or the Chargers just holding on to Rivers, Romer.
Yeah. I just don't know if Tua is going to drop to like 9 or 10 for the Chargers. I think that's the difficult part. And I know Jesse Reeves would love to see Tua on the Chargers, because I've seen those posts on Twitter so many times already, trying to plant his flag and hope for some goodwill. But I don't think he's going to play in 2020. And that's when, you know, it's going to get even more difficult when it comes to valuing him. So if you're drafting him in a super flex league, like, I'd probably draft him 4. So I would get
Swift and Taylor first, and then
I would go Joe Burrow, Swift, then CD Lamb, and then
then
Tua, just because the position's too important. And I think I was talking with Ray on his podcast, and he said something that I thought was really accurate, and 80% of Tua is better than 15 starting quarterbacks in the league right now. And I think that's what makes the difference for me. And if I can draft even at 4, a guy that's injured that has top 10 potential or quarterback 2, you know, floor for 10 years, I think it's worth it. That's worth the value. When you're not going to get that same value out of a wide receiver or a running back.
Awesome. I like this. I'm learning things. Like, this makes me want to go join an actual Devi startup, even though my goal is to not join any leagues this year. Trade Addicts 8, and that's it. Okay, next question.
Is that a Devi league? Can we make Trade Addicts 8 a Devi league?
No. Kyle, man, I should get closer to my computer when I read these questions. Kyle Detert at Detert 10. What is the move with Kylan Hill, Zach Moss, and Trey Sermon? Do you try and package them up and move them, or hold to see if the chips may fall in the NFL?
Don't package them.
Right. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. Now, people that know nothing about college, how would you describe these three guys?
So Kylan Hill, I believe, is going back to school. And he's going to – he has – next year he's probably going to be a top six running back in the draft. Zach Moss is like the normal injury-plagued running back that we see happen to go, you know, round three, round four type of guy. He's a power running back that has knee injuries. His most recent knee injury, he tore his ACL getting into bed.
Literally.
Like, I don't know if it was a full ACL tear, but he got into his bed and the next day he had knee surgery.
Okay.
So, like, that's not great.
That's not great.
Like, I don't even do that. And I'm not athletic.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I've pulled muscles in my back sneezing.
Oh, guaranteed. Like, I'm with you. Like, I'm not saying I haven't done that. But, where's my computer's going crazy. And then Trey Sermon. So I think Trey Sermon is my favorite of these three guys. He's not someone you can sell because he just got injured this past year. He had knee surgery. But I think he might have the best vision of any running back in the draft. And here's my word to the wise when it comes to Devi trading, is that there's always a time and a place to trade these guys. And right now is not a time to trade guys because there's no good news coming out about anyone that isn't in the college playoff or isn't in a great bowl game. So Zach Moss probably has the highest stock of the three guys right now. But I wouldn't be selling him because as soon as you package him, you're going to not be getting their value back.
Okay. So let's move on to Jerry Sinclair at Jerry Sin DFF. Favorite prospect that nobody talks about enough. Also, reminds him that spaghetti is delicious and he is a heathen for not loving it.
You know what, Jerry?
No, hold on. We need, like, do you have an allergy to pasta, gluten, in any way, shape, or form?
Nope.
You just don't like pasta.
So, I love pasta. I don't like spaghetti.
Okay, that's, like...
So, okay, I recently put out a tweet of my five least favorite foods. And you can judge me if you want to, but there are five foods I just don't like. And the first food is peanut butter. I don't like peanut butter. Second food is pickles. I don't like pickles.
Okay, I'm with you on that one.
The third food is tacos that people make at home.
What if they're good at making tacos?
No one's good at making tacos at home. They all use that same crap where, like, you cook a pound of beef and then you throw in a package of taco seasoning and a little bit of water and they're like, I made tacos. Like, those aren't good tacos. Like, stop. That food's not good. Don't do it. Okay? And then I also don't like spaghetti that you make at home. So I don't want some watered down, like, not really well-cooked pasta smothered in some $2 can of spaghetti sauce. Like, don't give me that. Like,
so you could have done better. You don't like home cooked food from people that aren't very, very good home cooks. You want to go out and taste the rainbow of
in case
culinary delights.
In case you're wondering, the two meals that my wife knows how to cook are tacos and spaghetti.
She's not in the room, is she?
No, we've had this conversation many times.
Okay, so wait, hold on. That was...
My wife has now re-entered the room, hearing the taco talk.
All right, so wait, hold on. There were tacos, spaghetti, pickles, peanut butter,
and tofu.
Oh, ew, gross.
Yeah. Whitney is still giving me just a stank face.
Well, you kind of deserve it. I'm not going... I am taking her side on this.
What, Whit? She also said she makes a mean toast.
All right, because I thought she was about to say she makes a mean tofu, and I'm like, no.
No, she makes a mean toast. If you need some toast cooked, my wife has gotcha.
All right, next time I'm in Minnesota and I need some toast, I'm coming right at you, Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's get back to the actual Debbie part of this question. Favorite prospect nobody's talking about, or not talking about enough, I should say.
So we already mentioned Trey Sermon. That probably would have been my guy. I know I commented right below Jerry posting that, and I said, look at your profile picture. Because Jerry lost a bet to me, and it was about who had a better record, and that was between his Michigan State Spartans and my Minnesota Gophers. So obviously, Minnesota's the better team, and they'll continue to be the better team, and we're going to continue to row the boat and be better than Michigan State. Like, that's just the way that it's going to work now. But he had to change his profile picture to Tyler Johnson, which is one of my favorite wide receivers in this draft. And especially since he isn't going to the Senior Bowl yet, I think he's just going to continue to rise up boards. Right now, he's going to the Shrine Game. He's going to destroy those corners because he's been destroying good corners. So then he's going to go to – eventually they'll bring him to the Senior Bowl, and he's going to do well there. He's going to get – drafted hopefully at a decent spot that needs a good slot wide receiver that is really great at running routes, and that's what he does. I believe he's the best route runner in this draft, and I that possibly could be my fandom of the Minnesota Gophers, as I obviously wear the Minnesota Gophers shirt here. But I just think he's going to continue to be slept on, just like he was this past season. And people are going to be surprised when he all of a sudden does well. And that's not going to surprise anyone that's followed the Big Ten.
All right. Okay. So what's a good not Homer pick? I know lately it's not to say that people aren't talking about them enough, but Ray GQ has been going nuts about Clyde Edwards-Helaire lately. He's the running back from LSU, right?
Yep. So I think if we want someone that isn't being talked about at all, and that's his nickname is the Sauce.
So I'm in already.
So that's AJ the Sauce Dillon.
Oh, I'm out.
And so anyone that follows me on Twitter knows how much I love AJ Dillon. And it's
why is his nickname the Sauce?
God, I wish I knew. And he's a power running back.
Yes, which, he is a giant.
So he's 6 foot tall, 250.
Yeah.
And they're projecting him to run in the 4.4s. So you tell me that some NFL team isn't going to fall in love with a power running back that can, kind of catch the ball. He didn't get asked to do that at Boston College.
Yeah, a lot of running backs do. Yeah.
But can kind of catch the ball. And he's 250 and can run 4.4 speed. Someone's going to fall in love, and someone's going to draft him in the late second, early third round, and all of a sudden, he's going to be a steal. I've gotten in fights about this player on Twitter already, and I know he's going to get drafted at the beginning, either at the end of day two or the beginning of day three, and that's my thoughts.
I jumped in the middle of a Twitter conversation with JP Hurley from DTC. He was talking about Chris Carson being hurt and Rashad Penny being hurt. And so I made the joke that they should probably just draft another running back in the first again, to which JP said, I wouldn't be shocked. They love their RB stables in Seattle, to which my reply was probably going to take AJ Dillon in the first.
Yeah, I love that.
Please just like that is such a Seattle move, and it's going to make me cry.
Yeah, well, it'd be very odd selecting the running back 12 in the first round. But hey, that's what they did a couple years ago. So
exactly, that's what I'm saying. That's such a Seattle move. It will make me cry again.
And I'll even go on record, and I think AJ Dillon is a better prospect coming out of college than Rashad Penny ever was.
I loved the idea of drafting Rashad Penny in the middle of the second in a dynasty rookie draft.
Yeah, it was fun. Board.
Yeah, that got ruined.
And then we've just seen him like do okay.
Yeah, I liked him coming into this year. I liked when they let him put him get on the field. Just, you know, tearing your ACL is not ideal. That's right. My analysis. Mm-hmm. Not ideal.
Astute.
Nice. I've never been called that before.
Nice.
All right, so let's go on to the next question. Hopeful SFB9 winner, Kamish McGriff, asked, what's Kane's Devy draft strategy? Best player, RB heavy because of scarcity? Does he invest much into freshmen?
So those are some great questions. I think when it comes to just Devy draft strategy in total, obviously you're going to want to know your league format. If it's a super flex league, I'm moving every quarterback up because I think it's easier to identify some of the characteristics at which quarterbacks are drafted higher than running backs and wide receivers, especially at a younger age. So I think quarterbacks are, I wouldn't say easier to scout, but at least you can identify some of those traits that might move them up boards. So I definitely move quarterbacks up a little bit. I'm not going to draft a tight end. I'm not drafting any tight ends in college. If I am, his name is Brevin Jordan. That might be the only one. Oh, gosh, I like Brevin Jordan.
Drafted any of the 2017 guys in Devy? Or Fant or Hockenson? Like any of these guys that we came in big in? No,
because Hockenson didn't come on until his senior year. He wouldn't have been drafted in Devy. Fant the year before, so I think his second year in college, like he did okay. But it's just so hard to judge. Like a guy got 400 or 500 yards 1 year, and that's not great. And I think what's even more difficult with Devy players just in general is you have to understand the system in which they play. And especially when it comes to Iowa, they're going to run a lot of two tight end sets. It's changing a little bit this year just because they had some faster guys on the outside, which was very unlike Iowa to do or to recruit. They don't really recruit like speedy wide receivers, but they managed. But if they're playing in a lot of two tight end sets, well, I'm not really going to move up those tight ends because, hey, they're just on the field more. And so they should get more opportunities. That is kind of just a basic thought. So I'm not going to draft tight ends. I'm going to move quarterbacks up. When it comes to running backs and wide receivers.
Running back, wide receiver, do you inherently rate one above the other? Kind of like in Dynasty, wide receivers kind of keep their value longer because they're more stable year to year as opposed to running backs. Like, is there ever a time where you had a grade so close between a running back and a wide receiver that you used their position to kind of break the tie? Or is that one of the times where you would then, okay, aha.
I think I would want to look at my dynasty team and kind of see what position it looks like I'm going to need more of, I guess. If it's really coming down to position and I have the exact same grades on guys, I'm going to take the wide receiver. Okay. And here's why.
Okay, go.
So if a running back is getting drafted by Devy, that means one of two things. That means either one, they're in a good situation and that's due to them being a really high recruit. Or two, they had a ridiculously great season as a young player. And so this is why the second thing worries me. It's because if we see the touch difference between guys like DeAndre Swift and Jonathan Taylor, I think Jonathan Taylor has 600 more touches in college than DeAndre Swift does. Some ridiculous number like that.
Wisconsin running backs, you know.
Yeah, but he's also been doing it for 3 years. So he's been the starter for 3 years. that's a lot of touches. And the only reason why he got onto people's radars is because he had a phenomenal freshman season, because he was a three-star recruit coming out of high school. So that's what I'm saying, that there's either one of two paths, and you have either that Trey Sanders path, number one running back going to Alabama. I'm sure he got hurt, so he sat out this year. He had a foot issue. But it's either guys like that that are going to have, you know, they're going to be on a great team because they were highly recruited, or you're going to have guys like Eno Benjamin, like Jonathan Taylor, that had to have a big season for them to get on radars. And that touch count is going to continue to go up and up and up. And if it's the latter of them having to produce early to get on Devy radars, I'm going to take the wide receiver instead.
Okay, so you like your running backs coming in highly recruited in a good team.
It's just more that their legs being fresh.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So if we're looking at Jonathan Taylor at having over 1,000 touches in 3 years, those aren't fresh legs. He hasn't like gotten injured, and that's what's led to their success and Wisconsin always being in a bowl game. So he's going to get another, like, you know, 30 touches there, but all of those add up. And I'm not saying that I'm going to move Jonathan Taylor down, but I'm not expecting him now to get past his first rookie contract.
Okay, so that is absolutely something worth taking into account, both right,
at least for me. And if he does get past his first contract and gets another one and continues to perform, well, then that's great. Like, good for him. Mm-hmm. But I would rather not take the unnecessary risk if I'm posing two equally graded people next to each other. Why take the risk? It just doesn't make sense.
Okay. Before we jump to the second part of this question, let's say you had two players, one running back that's coming out this year. So let's just say Jonathan Taylor, and then one wide receiver who's 2 years out, like maybe Rondale Moore. Let's just say magically you had them very close in your rankings.
I do. That's excellent. Actually a really great.
Yes. Would you then rank the running back a little higher, because we know running backs, he's closer to the NFL, which means he's closer to giving you points right now, and his career arc will be shorter in the NFL. So he's sort of, you know, in that bell curve of his usage,
right,
closer to that peak. Would you then rank him over the wide receiver that's a little further back because he's 2 years out? Did that make sense?
Yeah, so it does make sense. And that's a question that we always have to try and find the answer to in Devy. And I think you have to understand, partially you have to understand trade value as well. So Jonathan Taylor is going to have more trade value than Rondale Moore now.
Yeah.
So when he gets drafted, and if he gets drafted in the second round and to a team, Jesus Christ, Kirk Cousins, throw the ball. God, let's step up right to the nose tackle. He won't get me. Mm-mm, I'm strong. Like, stop, Kirk.
Oh, my God.
I don't even want to see this replay.
Oh, I'm like, so glad I don't have any games riding on this game. There's like, this is such a big game. There are so many championships riding on this game, plus you're just a Vikings fan. I'm so glad I have no dog in this race.
So the issue is that was the exact same play that they ran with Stephon Diggs being wide open on a post route, and he was wide open again on a post route, but did Kirk throw it? Nope, he stepped up right into the nose tackle. So anyways,
it's all part of his plan, so the next time when they run it, it'll work again.
Oh yeah, yeah, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, right?
The long con. Meatloaf, yeah. Told me that. 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
It's true. But going back to Jonathan Taylor, I think as soon as he gets drafted, his trade value is going to be at an all-time high. So if you do want that Rondale Moore, all of a sudden you can trade Jonathan Taylor for Rondale Moore in a piece. Right. So I'm always going to take the guy that has more trade value usually, because if people are trying to make that push for the playoffs and they think that Jonathan Taylor as a rookie is going to be able to do that for them, well, then they're going to have to give up a good asset. And, you know, if it's anything like this past year where Rondale Moore gets hurt, People kind of start to forget about him. You know, you could be able to trade for Rondell Moore and possibly get a piece on top of it, because now we're talking about an NFL starting running back versus Rondell Moore, who should get drafted in, you know, the top 10 or 15, but we still have to wait that extra year. So I'm willing to roll the dice on extra trade value and see if I can trade for him later using that extra value that I've now accrued by taking the guy that's a year earlier.
All right, so we're going to roll the last part of this question into our last question. Well, he asked, do you invest much into freshmen? But also, Bill McCarthy at Super Dupa Flex. I just joined my first Devi League this year and have two current freshmen, Emery and Tagovailoa. It's dawning on me that I need to have them on my roster for at least another 2 years before reaping any rewards. Is this bad strategy?
So, do I invest much into freshmen? It depends on how deep my league is. If it's only three or four rounds, no, I'm not going to do that, because there's going to be a chance for me to get that same player next year. And then I'm going to have accrued some more value because I took a different player in the third round. So I think that's where I don't put too much stock into them being a freshman. But if I'm looking at two guys, John Emery Jr. being the running back at LSU, freshman, or Tagovailoa, that'd be Tua's younger brother. I would be a little concerned, because I don't know how deep your league is, and I don't know how many other players you're going to have on your Devi roster that are going to be able to help your team this coming year and the year after, while you're still waiting for some of these other guys. So that would be the one thing that I'd be worried about, but it's not like I'm going to sell them. They have next to no trade value right now, so it's not worth trading them. You can try and trade to his younger brother on trade value alone, but I doubt it. You're going to get much, because Bryce Young, the number one quarterback, just signed with Alabama. So now Alabama has to make the choice of, are you starting Tualia, Tua's younger brother, or are you starting Bryce Young? So they're going to have that conversation, and I don't know which one they're going to pick. So
Tua comes back, he's going to have to start, and they're going to get rid of both of them.
Well, Tua won't even be able to play next year for the first half of the year. So that's why I don't know why Tua's going to come back. Go make your money. His insurance policy doesn't get cashed out unless he goes into the draft.
This year, yeah. And it's only if he falls out of like top 10 or something like that, I think.
Which
I don't know. Plus, especially next, like even now, he's the second best quarterback, even though he's hurt. Next year, healthy, he's probably the third.
First.
Tua over Fields and
Yeah, Lauren? I love Tua. Tua's fantastic.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right, well, that's all the questions we are going to take right now. I hope, even if you don't play in a Devi League, you were somewhat interested by all this. I started listening to Devi podcasts before I started playing, and that's honestly why I started playing in Devi Leagues. I started listening to the Devi Owner's Manual, the Devi Happy Hour, the Dynasty Yak, and now Destination Devi. And then it's like, I just liked the dudes that were podcasting. So I start listening to their stuff, and then I started caring more and more about it. So I just jumped into a Devi League, cause why the hell not? So hopefully you found this a little bit interesting. Hopefully you didn't stop listening, because that would make me sad. And I don't think anybody really wants to make me sad. That would just be messed up.
That's true.
But since this is the Trade Addicts podcast, we're still going to do Trade Addicts Trader 2, Addicts Leagues, 12 team Superflex PPR tight end premium, 1.75 points per reception and 0.05 points per return yardage, because there are two Trade Addicts 6 leagues. Now, I feel the need to point out, in my ever-going fight about trade deadlines, there were zero trades in the 7 Trade Addicts leagues from championship teams. Everyone flips out about buying championships and all that stuff. And I was in the UDPL, the Ultimate Dynasty Podcasters League, where Memphis and Shane went crazy. There was an arms race, doesn't do justice to what these two guys were doing. But then again, 6-7 leagues, zero
what
trades.
The Vikings.
I appreciate you not cursing and making me edit.
Oh my God. In case you're wondering, Aaron Jones just busted off a 56-yard touchdown run.
I wish that actually helped me in the league. I have him.
Oh my God. I hate being a Vikings fan.
I love you. Okay, so Trade Addict 6, the first trade, Joe Mixon and the 107 for Amari Cooper.
Joe Mixon.
Wow. Are you anti Amari Cooper?
No. But there's a little bit of ambiguity as to where he's going to play next year. And I think he fits the best in Dallas. And I don't know if they're going to be able to re-sign him, because they're going to have to, if they think Dak is their guy, they're going to have to sign him to a big extension. They gave Zeke a stupid contract, and I don't know how much money they're going to be able to have to afford Amari Cooper. And I don't think he's going to be as good in another situation. So I'd rather take Mixon with two offensive linemen becoming healthy next year, along with possibly Joe Burrow. And they actually have probably one of my favorite linemen from this last draft, and that's Jonah Williams, who is instantly going to be a plug and play guard. Yeah. So he's going to be great. I think Joe Mixon is just going to be a riser through this entire year. So buy him now.
And plus, we were saying at 107, I could hopefully get Dobbins, so that would make me. I mean, this wasn't me, but I'm just saying in general. So
yeah, so you're going to be looking at guys like Dobbins, Cam Akers, Henry Ruggs,
Judy, maybe, or you think he'll go for that?
No, he should go a little earlier than that, probably at that 105.
I mean, I have Ruggs in my league, so I'm pretty excited to hear you think he's going to go that early.
Well, not that he should.
I'm just hoping he, like, the John Ross effect. That's all I want.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because he's really freaking fast, so I want him to blow up the combine so I could sell him.
So I think there's three guys that are going to blow up the combine. And I think only one is going to retain its value. So if you're in a Devy league and you have any of the three guys, your highest sell value are these guys are going to be right after the NFL combine. And that's Jalen Reagor, mm-hmm. LaVisca Chenault, and Henry Ruggs.
All right, two out of three, not bad.
And hey, I think only Jalen Reagor is going to retain his value.
Well, Chenault scares me because he's always injured.
Chenault scares me because he can't run routes well.
Yeah, whatever. Neither can DK Metcalf, right?
He can't.
Still doing good.
But he's running like three routes. Like, yeah, he also happens to be connected to a terrific accuracy quarterback, and that certainly helps him. But it's not like he's ever going to be a number one for a team like I think Jalen Reagor can be.
Okay, cool. To me right now, the value seems pretty even in this one, the Mixon and a first for Amari, because I feel like that's what you would have to do to get Amari if you believe that, because especially now he finally gets to choose where he's gonna go. So like, I'm hoping he actually takes into account an offense that will fit him, because I think people will be willing to pay him. But yeah, I think in the long run, I want Mixon in the 107.
He's going to be going to Buffalo and just tank his value.
Whoa, that's not cool. All right, so now on for a much less exciting trade. Drew Lock and a fourth for N'Keal Harry and a third.
Drew Lock, pretty easy for me. But I think it's Drew Lock pretty easily, and I think it's two main reasons. I think he's going to be a quality quarterback. He's shown that. I don't think they're going to draft another quarterback like some people think. And touchdown Vikings?
Ooh.
Ola BC Johnson, there's a flag on the field.
Oh.
In the backfield. Kirk's running off like he doesn't think it's on him.
Roughing the passer?
You are shitting me.
Coming back.
On their left tackle. Get out of town right now. But I think Drew Locke's a quality quarterback, and he's shown that. With Tom Brady, no matter how long he wants to play, N'Keal Harry's not going to get the work in that he'll need to be a wide receiver one or a wide receiver two with a guy like Edelman there. N'Keal Harry's not a slot guy. He's an outside guy. So I don't think he's really ever going to be a quarterback one or a quarterback two, or excuse me, a wide receiver one or a wide receiver two. So I'd rather take the quarterback in the Superflex League.
Okay, cool. And, you know, thirds and fourths, I guess, don't really sway anything either way. Really. I think I have like take lock on N'Keal Harry. Like, he was my 101. I traded up in non superflex leagues to go grab him, and I'm digging in. I want him to be awesome, even though now we've seen that Tom Brady may just be bad now.
Yeah, like, and I think it's more Tom Brady than N'Keal Harry at this point. But and then we're gonna have to worry about, if Tom Brady happens to retire after this year, then we're going to have to worry about, you know, a rookie quarterback. And are they going to be able to sling it all over the field? Or is Bill Belichick going to play it safe and make sure that, you know, he still wins football games rather than putting his quarterback into tight spots? That could happen too. I just think there's a few too many question marks on a wide receiver when I can just have the quarterback instead.
All right, cool. All right, well, on that note, that's the end of our show sheet, so that is the end of our show. I like Kane, so I'm glad you decided to come on my show. I got to meet and hug Kane at the Midwest FF Expo.
It was nice.
It was very nice. So before we head out, again, remind the people who you are, what you do, where they could find what you do.
Yeah, so I'm Kane Fasel. You can find me on Twitter at Devi_Kane. We just put out the new Devi podcast. It's the Devi Marketplace. So if you're listening to this, obviously you enjoy trading. So why not understand a little bit more about Devi trade values? And that's exactly what we try to do over at the Devi Marketplace. So yeah, marketplace like the stock market. So we're trying to give you and help you understand values of Devi players. And I think that's something that you have to keep in mind when you're making these trades, because Devi is just going to continue to grow. So jump on that train.
Yeah. So again, because you're bad at this, at Devi_Kane.
Yeah, you got it.
At Devi Marketplace.
Is at Devi Marketplace.
And be a good co-host and shout out your co-host.
Oh, that's at PearsonFF. He's a great follow. He enjoys watching tape just as much as I do.
Rock and or roll. So yeah, they are part of the FF Mercs, mercenaries, if you will. So if you are in a Devi League, you want to join a Devi League, you can get a consultation with those two fine fellows or just listen to their podcast. My stuff, ffpodshirts.storenv.com. Pick up a wonderful Trade Addict Superflex Super Show. Oh man, I froze. Dynasty Diagnostic shirt, stickers, mugs. We have top shelf DFF stickers, and I threw in Dynasty Game Night stickers and mugs, mostly just because I wanted one, and so be it. But I left them up there for all of you people to buy if you want. Best part about that, 10% goes to Fantasy Cares. So you're getting something and giving something. Speaking of giving and getting, our awesome Trade Addicts Pod wristbands, $5 each, $2 of each wristband goes to Fantasy Cares as well. So you get a fancy wristband. Kids get some toys.
I have two.
You do? Me too.
Nice.
Patreon.com/TradeAddictsPod. Become a patron. You could be watching right now. Kane. We used to change names because they sound too much alike.
So do you not edit for the Patreons? Do they get the?
I don't edit for anybody.
Whole blammo. So are they gonna get that whole beginning portion of us just talking to Whitney?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. You're gonna be a podcast sensation.
Yeah. Well, Huh? The patrons get to
about making toast. You're going to be a podcast.
Well, that was actually part of the toast. Podcast that is absolutely not coming out. So that's there for real anyway. So you could watch us record, ask questions in the chat, even though there were zero people here today. That hurts my feelings. But we also have the Cool Kids Club, our chat on GroupMe, which is lit, as the kids say these days. He just did something with his hands. I don't know what that means, but I don't really feel like talking brother. Anymore. So I'm just going to say good night, Kane.
Good night, Russ. Love you.
Mwah. Thank you for listening to the Straight Addict Podcast. Please remember to follow our host at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Bar FF. Follow the pod at Straight Addict Pod. Please review, subscribe, and rate the podcast. Thank you for listening. And see you next time.